Let us pray. You, God, are beyond words, beyond explanation. Remind us that though we may try, no one word can encompass your great spirit. Be with us this day, as with our words we glimpse your grace, your power, and your love. We ask all this in the name of Christ, your word made flesh. Amen. So, in the psalm that we just offered, and you're lucky it went the way that it did, before worship, Alexis caught up with me and said, we should do the sung response. And I said, that sounds great. What I was going to get you to do was say hallelujah just as loud as you possibly could over and over again. It's Epiphany, and when we get to Lent, we're not going to be doing a whole lot of those. So, but through the psalm, there's a word that's mentioned a lot. And at the end, that word is mentioned in a contrast that we're not all very used to. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. These are the words that are offered near the end of our psalm today. In fact, these are the words that this particular psalm, Psalm 111, are most remembered for. We don't remember all the great works that the writer talks about in the beginning of the psalm. We don't remember that the works of God are majestic and honorable. And rarely are the most memorable words of this psalm, you sent redemption to your people. You decreed your covenant forever. These are beautiful words, but no, this psalm is remembered and studied because most translations of it in verse 10 say, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. How many people here agree with that? You don't have to put up your hands. You can just think about it in your own mind. That in order to be wise, our first step must be to fear God. The reality is that though some people can get behind that statement, many of us have a hard time because the word fear is one of those words that makes us cringe here in church. We don't like words like fear because we have a certain understanding of them and they're usually negative. Many people see God as life-giving, as just, as loving. For us, it's rare that we speak of God as fearful because for us, it just doesn't fit when we talk about the God of Jesus Christ who came to show love. When we hear the word fear, we think of something quite different from God. Quite naturally, we end up thinking about things that we are afraid of. Spiders. Heights. I'm afraid of heights in particular. Close spaces. The dark. The unknown. Things that we're afraid of. And when we have such a great fear of something, a fear that freezes us in place, we give it a name. It's great because then we can't really feel so afraid of it, even though we are, because it's named now. If we're afraid of spiders, what's it called? Arachnophobia. Does anybody know what the fear of heights is called? No one in here is afraid of heights? I looked it up because I'm afraid of heights. Acrophobia. Okay? Close spaces. Claustrophobia. Does anybody know what the fear of the dark is, the most common fear in the world? Scotophobia. Scotophobia. All of these words have something in common. Does anybody know what it is? Phobia. It's pretty clear. I'm making it easy for you today. This is from the Greek word phobos. And one of its meanings is fear. So should this word phobia, a word that we use to talk about these things that bring us great anxiety, great discomfort, great fear, should we use that word to talk about God, about our response to God's action in our lives, that we should fear God and all that God does? The quick answer that many of us would offer is no. Of course we don't fear God. But don't we? We live and teach that a phobia of God is what we do. We do it without even knowing it. We attempt to live good lives because we know that God is always watching. Many feel that God has a great book in which are listed the good deeds and the bad deeds of all. We feel the watchful eyes of God when we're sleeping. That God knows when we're awake. God sees within us the bad and the good, so in all things we're to be good. For goodness sake. What are we talking about here? Are we talking about God anymore? Santa Claus. At some point in the last century or so, God became almost indistinguishable from Santa Claus. Old guy, big white beard, naughty and nice list, kind of creepy because he's always watching us. But worst of all, we've adopted the reward and punishment system of this Santa Claus. If we do good deeds, we will be rewarded with eternal life. But if we're caught doing something bad, if the bad deeds outweigh the good, if we end up on the naughty list, we're bound to end up with something far warmer than coal. And so, yes, we fear this Santa God because we don't want to end up on his naughty list. Because we've been reading Psalms like this and hearing that if we want to be wise, the first step is to fear God. Or bad things will happen to us. But the problem is, we've come to understand fear as being associated with phobias, those things that we are paralyzed with fear, afraid of. Those things that make us cower in terror. But the Hebrew people who wrote the Old Testament and the Greek people who wrote the New Testament understood their word for fear in a totally different way. Here's an example of what I mean. If I ask you whether it's better to be feared or respected, what might you say? Again, you don't have to answer. Unless you'd rather be feared and respected, in which case, good for you. Most people want to be respected. Deep down, it's a human right. We all deserve basic respect. Some people would say they want to be feared because maybe they were bullied and this is their way of getting back. Now, if I asked that question using the Greek form of both of those words, it would sound something like this, though probably not exactly. So anyone who's a Greek scholar here, don't hit me afterwards. Would it be better to be phobia or phobia? For the Greeks, the word for fear is the same for the word for respect. But again, fear and terror should not be considered synonymous with respect. Like some of our own words, phobia has different meanings. It can also be translated as reverent, awesome, terrible, amazing. In verse 9 of this very same psalm, verse 9 of Psalm 111, it says, "Your name is holy and awesome." The word that's used for awesome in the Greek and in the Hebrew is the same word for fear. So it could just as easily say, "Your name is holy and fearful. Your name is holy and terrible. Your name is holy and amazing." So in verse 10, where it says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, it could just as easily say the respect of God, the honoring of God, being in awe of God is the beginning of wisdom. But even if we understand that when the Greeks and the Hebrews used the word like fear, they really meant respect, what do we mean when we talk about wisdom? Well, what is wisdom? To be honest, I think wisdom then is pretty similar to what wisdom is today. To be wise in an area is to have an understanding of it. To be very wise is to have full understanding. So in life, we are said to become wiser the older we get, supposedly. And some who are young but very knowledgeable are said to be wise beyond their years. One really good example of wisdom and fear is fire. How many people here fear fire? Not burning alive or, you know, burning their house down. How many people actually fear fire itself? Anybody? Really? I promise I won't light any matches. I'll keep this as far away as I can. Many of us don't fear fire for a good reason, right? We understand it. We can break it down. We know what fire is. We know what makes fire. And most of all, we know how to put it out most times. We know that if we take away its fuel, we can get rid of it. Being wise is about breaking things in the world down to their smallest parts, seeing how they work, and understanding them in the big picture. When we understand something, it's hard to fear it anymore. When we understand how it works, it's hard to have a great fear of it. We can even connect the saying in this psalm, or in this psalm, to a saying in Psalm 139, which says that by God we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, they didn't have ultrasounds back then. So the mystery of life was truly a miracle, that God was working in secret in the womb. Even with all the technology that we have today at our disposal, I remember looking at my children on that screen. I didn't cower in fear, but I stood in awe of what God was doing. And this is where verse 10 in Psalm 111 comes in. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The writer of the psalm knew that God, the power of God, can't be broken down in the same way as fire or a car. And because we can never truly know every part of God, we can never truly know the innermost workings of God. That's something that truly does deserve our respect. And yes, our fear, but not a fear that drives us to cower. Rather, a fear that comes from looking into eternity and standing in sheer awe of it. That's the kind of fear that the psalmist is talking about. Not a fear that drives us to be afraid of punishment, but a knowledge that God is beyond fully knowing. And that is the good news this day. If God is beyond fully knowing, then that means that every day we can discover something new about God, about creation. And at the end of our lives, God will continually be revealing God's self to us in new and surprising ways. And that's what the season of Epiphany is all about. Discovering something new about the one who draws us to this place. So as you walk through this week, I encourage you to stop from time to time between shoveling snow and just stare at creation. Somebody said earlier today, yeah, there's all this snow, but it's beautiful. Take a moment and stare at the beauty of creation. Take a moment and be in awe of all that's going on around you, of what God has done and continues to do. And when you start moving again, remember that with God's help, in this life, we can do some pretty awesome, some pretty amazing things together. Thanks be to God for the gift of this life. Amen.